What's up, this your boy Lil Duval, and check out my podcast, Conversations with Unc, on the Black Effect Podcast Network. Each and every Tuesday, Conversations with Unc podcast feature casuals and in-depth talk about ebbs and flows of life and the pursuit of happiness. Unlike my work on stage, I tap into a more serious and sensitive side to give life advice and simply offer words of encouragement, yet remind folks to never forget to laugh. Every Tuesday, listen to Conversations with Unc, hosted by Lil Duval on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Presented by AT&T. Connecting changes everything.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's also you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Brought to you by the reinvented 2012 Camry. It's ready. Are you?
Welcome to Stuff You Should Know from HowStuffWorks.com.
Hey, and welcome to the podcast. I'm Josh Clark. Sitting across from me is one Charles W. Bryant. You might know and love him more as Chuckers or Chuck.
Chuck Tran.
Chuck Tran.
Whatever. Call me anything. Just call me.
You can call me anything. Just don't call me late to dinner.
Yeah. That's another good one.
That's a redneck one, isn't it?
Nah, that's classic. It's not redneck.
I've always heard it from rednecks.
Oh, redneck. He's classic.
So, wait, what accent was that,
Chuck? I have no idea. It's like
that was international.
Italo-Serbian.
You're getting more and more refined, buddy. Chuck, do you see the stopwatch I have?
I do.
I want you to stare at it, Chuck.
I am.
You're getting very drowsy, Chuck.
I am.
You're laying in a field surrounded by little rabbits.
I love rabbits.
Yes, the rabbits love you too, Chuck. Chuck.
Yes.
Keep your eyes open for me.
Yes.
Yes. Now, Chuck, I want you to bark like a dog when I snap my fingers. Ready?
Woof.
Very good, Chuck. That was excellent. Now, Chuck, I'm going to bring us out of this horribly uncomfortable segment. When I snap my fingers, I'm going to count to three, and when I snap my fingers, you're not going to remember any of this. Just me and the people listening to this will know. Okay?
Okay.
One, two, three.
Whoa.
Hey, Chuck.
I'm not sure what happened, but I feel lame.
You should feel lame. You have every reason to feel lame. So do I, Chuck.
I'm embarrassed.
I suddenly realized I just bestowed upon you like a really great gift that you can't remember what just happened. That was like the worst intro we ever did.
It is.
So just thank your lucky stars, Chuck.
That is a great intro, Josh, because we are talking about hypnosis.
Well, yeah. It would have been a little weird for Australian frogs.
Right. Yeah, you know? That'd be weird.
The cane toad.
So I'll go ahead and kickstart this, my friend, by saying that hypnosis has been around for a couple hundred years. And because it has to do with the brain and the mind, we still don't know a ton about how it actually works.
I'd like to kickstart this one by saying that hypnosis is complete
I don't agree because I have been hypnotized, and we will get to that later.
Really?
Yeah.
Have you really?
Yeah, sort of. We'll talk about it.
Okay.
I'll walk you through my experience later.
That would be great. Oh, you've been hypnotized twice now, you realize. You don't remember it, but...
I don't know what you're talking about.
I know you don't, but you've been hypnotized twice.
So, technically speaking, buddy, a trance-like state is what hypnosis is. And it's characterized by relaxation, heightened imagination, and extreme suggestibility. And they compare it to daydreaming. You're actually hyper-attentive. You're not asleep. You're hyper-attentive, and they liken it sometimes to when you get lost, like in a movie, and nothing exists outside the movie, and you are emoting with the movie, and you kind of believe what's going on is real.
Not only was it compared to, in this article by poor Tom Harris, to watching a movie, it was also compared to driving, reading, and mowing the lawn.
Was it? I didn't notice those parts.
Oh, you didn't see that?
Oh, no, no.
There's this awesome illustration that shows you all the things that you can kind of self-hypnotize with, and one of them is apparently riding a lawn tractor.
Well, Milton Erickson is a expert in the 20th century with hypnotism. He says that this happens on a daily basis to everybody.
Yeah, and I know what he's talking about. Like, I've definitely driven unimpaired
sure.
before and been like, how did I get here?
Oh, I've done that too, man.
And you realize you're so focused on a thought or a problem or mm-hmm. just something you're trying to work out that your body's just taken over. And you can do it in a stick shift, too. It's not just with automatics.
Yeah, you know what usually triggers my realization that that's happened is I realize some awful, awful song has been playing that I would never listen to like 1 second of.
Really?
Like Bad to the Bone is on. And it's like the end of Bad to the Bone.
Buddy. You mean George Thorogood and the T-Birds?
That song is awful.
No, the T-Birds was different. George Thorogood
Delaware
and
Destroyers.
The Destroyers.
Yeah.
You didn't like Thorogood?
He used to go to the Hollywood Y, by the way. We were on the same workout schedule for a little while.
That's awesome.
He like his old bones on the treadmill. He looked like he was about to die.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Oh, I'm sure he was.
I hated Bad to the Bone, and I maintain that.
Okay. So if you are listening to Bad to the Bone and you realize that it's like the end of the song, it's been on the whole time.
Yeah.
That's clear evidence that you've self-hypnotized.
Exactly.
And there's also a school of thought that all hypnosis is self-hypnosis. We'll get to those explanations later.
Right.
That definitely makes a little bit of sense to me.
Or mesmerized, even.
Do you want to talk about Mr. Mesmer?
Yeah. The name actually comes from a guy named Franz Mesmer. And he was an Austrian physician in the 1700s. And he was one of the early proponents of hypnotism. He thought it was a mystical force, though. And it was early on, it was known as mesmerism.
Right.
And then that just eventually became like mesmerizing.
Right. And Mesmer's whole bit was that it was animal magnetism flowing from the hypnotist, like sleep, right?
Right,
that
right.
guy.
The old corny stuff.
Coming out of like his fingers and his eyes, like uh-huh. into the subject.
Right.
And that hypnosis was the hypnotist exerting his will on the hypnotized person.
Right.
And that was largely abandoned in the 19th century, I think.
Was it?
Yeah. A Scottish surgeon named James Braid coined the term hypnosis.
Right.
And it came to be seen as a state that the person went into.
Gotcha.
Guided by a hypnotist, right?
Gotcha. Well, that's definitely what happens. When you're under hypnosis, it's always that you talk about the suggestibility. You think that that's reality. So the example they gave in the article, which I thought was appropriate for us, is if they say, like, your tongue is swollen, you believe that, and so you might start talking like you do with a thick tongue.
That's nice.
Or if they say you're drinking, like, a cold soda, you might, like, feel the bubbles or the cooling effect on your throat even.
Right, right. And, Chuck, I think it's not that you think it's real. It's that you are... In much the same way it was likened to watching a movie or a TV show.
Mm-hmm.
Like, do you ever watch a TV show and you, like, it cuts to commercial and all of a sudden you realize, like, you're really anxious, like you're in trouble for something and
yeah,
you
yeah.
don't understand why and you realize it's because you've attached to what's going on in the show
right.
so much that you're kind of empathizing with the characters?
Yeah.
I think it's like that. Like, the idea that a dramatic play
mm-hmm.
going on inside a little box
right.
can evoke emotions in you.
Sure.
That's what hypnosis is. You don't think it's reality because you're not thinking.
Yeah. We'll get into the brain of it. And I guess this is probably a good time to do it, right? The subconscious mind?
Well, yeah. This is really where I started to zone out. And
really?
I was like, well, how did I lose the last hour?
The school of thought, for the most part, is that hypnotism is a way to get into your subconscious mind.
You say hypnotism?
Hypnotism.
Okay.
Hypnotism. Taps into your subconscious, and if your conscious thoughts are the things that you have to consciously think of in a day, your subconscious is still, like, hard at work doing all the things. Like, you don't think, I'm going to get in my car and pick up my key to insert it in. You just, you know, your subconscious knows how to do all that.
Right. Harris used the example of, like, losing your keys, right?
Right.
You're sitting there, and your conscious mind, I guess, in this respect, and I have to put the disclaimer out, I don't think conscious and subconscious concepts will be around for much longer, but...
You think?
I don't think so.
Right.
But from the viewpoint of psychology, your conscious mind is what realizes that you are missing your car keys and all the ramifications of not being able to find your car keys, like you're going to be late to work, and this is going to be a problem, and where did you leave it last, and all that. And your subconscious mind are all of the different mechanisms, or it's governing all the different mechanisms, bringing them together so that you can have these thoughts, worries, and access memories, most importantly.
Sure.
So that you can remember the last place you put them.
Right.
So what seems to you like a sudden flash of insight, like there's the car keys, that was a series of machinations by the subconscious mind that brought you to your conscious mind to that point.
Wow. Well, that's very pertinent here because psychiatrists think that the deep relaxation, the relaxed state, did I just say that?
I kind of like that.
The relaxed state that you get into, it is, allows the psychiatrist or the hypnotist to tap into that subconscious because of the state that you're in.
Tap that subconscious.
Tap it. There may be a little bit to that too, right?
There could be, but we should probably say, Chuck, before we get into that, that what the subconscious mind is responsible for, some of the big things, and that this is what...
Right.
Right, you've got the sensation, bodily sensations.
Right.
Memories.
Taste, smell,
emotions,
all that stuff. Uh-huh.
Right? And with memories especially, if you're getting in there and you're going directly to the source where these things are stored, retrieved, and experienced, right?
Yeah.
Then you have a lot of responsibility... if this is actually real,
right?
To not manipulate the person in this state.
Yeah, absolutely.
Because apparently you're dealing directly with the subconscious. So with the talking about repressed memories specifically, it's easy to create false memories inadvertently.
Yeah.
So you definitely have to be really careful. But yes, you are right that there is some evidence. There's some scientific evidence that there's something going on here when people are in a hypnotic state, right?
Well, yeah, the conscious mind is the inhibitive component of your body. So it's the one that's like putting on the brakes for things. And the subconscious is the more impulsive and imaginative one. So it makes sense that you see those stupid hypnosis shows live on stage where adults are like barking like dogs and walking around like chickens and stuff.
They're still there. I was in Vegas a couple of weeks back and they have billboards for
people love that stuff though.
Yeah.
I'm just not one of them. But that does sort of make sense that if they're tapping into the subconscious and leaving the conscious mind out of it, then that's why they're uninhibited and feel free to do all those stupid things.
Right.
So there is something to that in theory, just by looking at it.
Right. And there is, I guess people have slapped people into EEG machines, given them electroencephalography scans.
Yeah, to see what's actually going on in the brain.
Right, and there is something, like there's no change bodily, aside from, and Tom Harris did a good job making this point, people are relaxed, right?
Sure.
But that's actually from the suggested relaxation, that's not from the state of hypnosis itself.
So like your heart rate might slow down and stuff,
yes.
But it's not because you're hypnotized, it's just because you're chill.
Exactly.
Okay.
But with the brain scans, I can't remember what we were talking about. Sleepwalking, I think.
We were talking
about brain waves, right?
Uh-huh.
We were. And the low frequency waves associated with deep sleep tend to show up more when you're in a hypnotized state.
Okay.
And the higher frequency waves associated with being fully awake and alert slow down some. They don't disappear. One doesn't take over and the other one goes away.
Right.
Like when you're actually in deep sleep. But they're skewed differently than a normal person would have while they're awake.
Right. And so they're Tom also points out too that that's not like proof of anything.
Right.
But it is a nod to like, well, this is actually going on. The same with they studied the cerebral cortex and hypnotic subject showed reduced activity in the left hemisphere and increased in the right. And the left hemisphere is where the logical control center is.
Mm-hmm.
And the right is where like the imagination and creativity is. So that kind of supports the idea as well.
Right.
But so, again, not like hard proof.
Chuck, how do you, that's my problem with this. There's no hard proof whatsoever.
Right.
How do you, as far as, again, psychology, psychiatry goes, and this is in widespread use.
Or Vegas
hypnosis,
shows.
Right. Mm-hmm. How do you hypnotize somebody?
Well, there's some different ways,
right,
that you can do it. There's the old school way where you like wave the watch in front of someone that you've seen in the movie.
Like, yes.
That's called field gaze induction or eye fixation.
Fixed gaze.
Fixed gaze? What did I say? Field gaze? Mm-hmm. That makes no sense.
I hypnotized you to say that.
Woof. What was that?
Nothing.
So that's the idea there is that they're just getting you to focus on something and tune everything out, and then they lull you to sleep with their tone. And that's sort of the old school way, and they don't do it much anymore because apparently it doesn't work that well.
Yes. Because people are too smart.
And what's the other one?
There's another one called Rapid, which right. I like this one. It's like, Chuck, sleep. Chuck, you're hypnotized. Chuck, listen to my voice. You're sleepy. Chuck, focus on me. Chuck.
Right.
Chuck.
What?
Yeah.
Well, and that's what they do in the Vegas shows. And they kind of prey on the fact that you're up on stage, you're out of your element, and you're nervous. And they supposedly that will make you more susceptible to that kind of suggestion.
Right.
So and that's two.
Then, there's another one called progressive relaxation and imagery, where someone might suggest that you're laying in a field.
That's the one that was used on me.
Or surrounded by bunnies.
Right.
Where was this?
I'll go ahead and just tell the story. I went to a hypnotherapist about four times before I didn't go back. Mm-hmm. And he, this guy would, it was in his house over there off Monroe in this dude's apartment. And he was sort of creepy and like the whole situation was a little unnerving. And, but I did want, like, they say one of the things that you have to believe that you can be hypnotized.
Yeah.
In order to be hypnotized.
Yeah.
Like, you can't go in there as a skeptic, probably, and, like, cross your arms and say, wave your watch.
Mm-hmm.
But, I believe that, you know, you could do this because my friend went through the cigarette, hypnosis and it really worked for him. So he had me look at this huge painting that was on his wall and just, like, focus on that. And he had this, like, New Age Enya music playing softly, and the lights were dim.
Wow,
it was a little creepy. And he lulled me with his voice, you know, and all that. And I went three times, and I guess I was looking for a hypnosis experience where I didn't remember what happened and I was like out of it. But from reading this, it's not like you're out of it. You're just in such a relaxed state that you can go there or something. And the only success that I will say is, for one of the sessions, it's sort of like meditation.
Right.
Have you ever meditated?
Yeah, I've tried. There's too much going on up here.
Yeah. Well, you probably wouldn't be very good with hypnosis.
Plus, I can't get into the lotus position to save my life.
Well, you don't have to.
Oh.
It's sort of like meditation, though, in that this one time I really, really was lulled into this like super relaxed state, and we talked about some stuff, and then afterward, I came out of it, and he was like, all right, how do you feel? I was like, I feel really relaxed and good. He said, how much time do you think that took? I was like, I don't know, about 15 minutes? He went, look at your watch. It was an hour and 20 minutes, dude.
Wow. And he went, sleep.
Yeah, I went, write a check.
Right. Yeah. No, he just went through your wallet while you were talking.
So it sort of worked, man. I mean, I felt.
Did you feel better?
Well, yeah, I didn't go back. I think I went back one more time and then went, it's not for me.
You went back for that fourth pity visit?
Yeah, exactly. When I felt bad for the guy. Right. And then I just quit, like, returning calls, basically. Yeah.
He's like, please, come over.
But
I won't charge you. I haven't seen another person in so long.
I know. He kind of gave me that feeling. I hope he doesn't listen to the show. But, it freaked me out, man. Like, the passage of time definitely weirded me out to where I was like, I lost an hour somehow. So, you know. I'm not saying I believe in it, but it was pretty real.
Well, I guess we probably,
debunk it.
Well, the problem is you totally nailed the not just why hypnosis isn't necessarily real, but why psychology isn't necessarily real. Chuck, have you heard of the dodo bird effect?
No.
Dodo bird effect, there was a psychologist in, I think, the 30s, and I can't remember his name, but he figured out, and it's been proven time and time again, that no matter what psychological orientation you're using, whether it's Freudian psychoanalysis, cognitive behavioralism, whatever, as long as the patient believes that he or she can be healed, believes in the therapist's abilities, and the therapist believes in that orientation, there's going to be success.
Mind is powerful.
It is powerful, but the mind of the patient is powerful.
Right.
Right? What is described by the dodo bird effect, uh-huh. and it's based on some part of, I think, Through the Looking Glass or whatever, the dodo bird decrees everyone's a winner.
Right.
It's the placebo effect.
Yeah.
That's what hypnosis is. It's a placebo effect. But more specifically, it's a socially or culturally bound placebo effect, like voodoo.
Right.
Like, remember when we talked about voodoo?
Uh-huh.
And when we talked about zombies, I don't think we touched on it in voodoo. But with zombies, it's like if you live in a culture that believes in zombieism,
mm-hmm.
and steps are taken to make you think that you have been afflicted and made into a zombie,
yeah, yeah.
you're going to act like a zombie most
right.
likely. That's what hypnosis does, in my opinion.
Well, and I sort of agree with that, but he also makes a point, too, when I was reading this. I'm glad he made the point at the end, because the whole time I was thinking, like, yeah, but if the end result is the same as hypnosis, isn't that the same? Like, it's kind of splitting hairs. And he makes that point. What's the difference if the placebo cures your ills?
Well, the difference is like, if you can tap into the placebo effect,
yeah.
that's optimal.
Yeah,
because
yeah.
you're letting the body take right. over and take care of itself.
Right.
The problem is when you write a check to somebody
okay.
For something that you could have done yourself, or there's an entire field of study,
right.
like psychology,
mm-hmm.
that entire other fields of study, like economics or, well, let's just go with economics, are based on
right.
the findings of,
right.
and those findings aren't right, it's all placebo effect,
uh-huh.
then you've got a real problem.
Yeah, I guess it's a solid point.
It is. So I think if we identify the placebo effect, you have to identify it. But the problem is, if people know that it is a placebo effect, then it kind of ruins its effectiveness usually.
Well, because you got to believe in it going in.
Yeah.
For sure. One of the ways they use it is habit control treatment. And that's what I was talking about, my buddy, Johnny Pindell, who quit smoking. Why is that funny?
What's your buddy's name?
John Pindell.
I like Johnny Pindell.
Johnny Pindell.
Yeah, he sounds like he should be wearing like a jean jacket.
He might
with,
be.
Like Def Leppard and black like marker on the back.
He might be. And he might be. Oh, you met Johnny. He was the guy in New York, the tall guy in the back of the van with us.
Oh, yeah. I like that guy.
Jeff
I could
John.
Totally see him in a jean jacket with Def Leppard on the back.
He went through the cigarette program, and a lot of times it's like overeating or smoking, and what they'll do is hypnotize you and reprogram your subconscious to, like, you're going to feel nauseous every time you smoke a cigarette.
Right.
And it, you know, this, with varying degrees of success, it's worked.
Yes.
On some people.
Yeah.
Including John. I think he smokes now, but years ago.
Again, though, I mean, did it really work? It worked for a little while.
Well, yeah.
But did it work because he believed it? It's not just that, though. I mean, a lot of cancer patients
uh-huh.
apparently undergo hypnosis to get through chemotherapy.
Or to try and heal.
Right.
Period.
And a lot of people swear by that. Same with childbirth.
Right.
Then there's some where you're getting in some areas where it's like, no, if this is a placebo effect phenomenon,
right?
Like, we shouldn't be using this at all, like forensic.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, because we talked about implanting false memories. There's a likelihood of that.
Yeah, what they'll do in forensic is they'll get someone who has like a suppressed memory of like an awful crime, and they'll hypnotize them to bring out these like details of the crime scene.
Sure.
But that's really controversial,
right?
When it's used at all.
There's also. Wasn't there another one, Chuck?
Well, just regular psychotherapy. If you have like phobias or fears, you know, subconscious
right.
fears,
which is much like the habit control hypnotic treatment, except it's usually more guided toward things like phobias rather than quitting smoking.
Right.
But it uses a lot of the same tricks. Like, rather than you'll be nauseous the next time you get afraid of flying.
Right.
It would, I guess, kind of instill in you self-confidence or something like that. Like,
sure.
you don't need to be afraid of this plane wreck.
Yeah.
It'll be over eventually.
This is going to be a email generator, I think.
Yeah.
I think we'll get both sides of the coin on this. A lot of people are going to say, no, dude, I was hypnotized and it was real, or I went and saw that Vegas show and you don't know anything. It was hysterical.
Right.
Or I think it's bunk and I'm a skeptic.
Right.
I think skeptics, you're kind of wired that way. You're either a skeptic or you're more inclined to believe things.
I changed. I've done a complete 180. I was thinking the other day how surprised I am at what a skeptic I've become.
Did you used to believe?
I used to love everything that, like, without thinking.
Uh-huh.
Like, I used to think Genghis Khan killed, like, 1.8 million people in an hour. I thought it. Because it was awesome. It was an awesome thing to think.
Sure.
And now today, I was reading, it was actually today, I was reading this hypnosis article, mm-hmm. and I was like, this is bunk. Like, I can barely make it through this article.
Really?
Yeah, and I realized just, like, how much I've changed in that respect.
I think you get older and you get a little more cynical and less prone to buy into stuff.
Do you want to hear any more? There's like, a whole slew of culture-bound mental illnesses.
Really?
That are, like, if you live in a culture that accepts this as fact, there's one that I just want to tell you one.
Uh-huh.
But if you're ever interested, you should go check out culture-bound mental illnesses. There's lots of sites that have lists and descriptions of them. But there's one called Koro, and it afflicts Malaysians, possibly Indians. There's large populations that believe in this, that under certain circumstances, like after you've had sex with a prostitute or engaged in masturbation, if you're feeling particularly guilty about this, you may suffer from Koro.
Mm-hmm.
And Koro is the belief that your genitalia, male and female, are shrinking into your body.
Really?
It can also happen from eating unclean food or whatever.
So the idea is that if people really believe this, then it will happen, or they just believe it's happening, and so that's what matters?
They believe it's happening, and that's what matters. This is why it's classified as a mental illness, because it doesn't actually happen,
okay.
but they'll take steps to prevent it from happening, like putting hooks into their breasts to pull them back out,
right.
tearing off their son's penises to keep them from keep it from spreading.
Holy cow.
Yeah. So, but that's culturally bound. Like, if you did that in the U.S., everybody would be like, you're absolutely nuts.
Right.
You do it there, it's like, oh, you have Koro.
Yeah.
I think that's what hypnosis is. It gives you, in the United States,
uh-huh.
carte blanche to act in ways that you would be embarrassed by normally, because you're hypnotized so the rest of us aren't judging you.
Interesting. I don't think that makes you a skeptic.
Thanks. Thanks, okay. man. Because I started to hate that little rotten part in me, the skeptic.
Woo.
So if you want to learn more about hypnosis or find out the fate of Chuck based on the fixed gaze induction that he underwent.
And my super creepy hypnotherapist.
Yeah, that time. You can type in hypnosis, H-Y-P-N-O-S-I-S, in the search bar at HowStuffWorks.com. Just a plain old vanilla search bar at HowStuffWorks.com. And I understand it's, well, let's just do the listener mail thing. Or do we have a plug fest thing?
No, listener mail. This is a special announcement time.
This is plug fest.
It is plug fest. In October, in mid-October in Atlanta, Georgia, we're going to have a couple of things going on. One is an officially sanctioned trivia night at the Five Seasons Brewery Westside. You can look it up on the internet. It's got a great scene there.
What street is it on? Is it on Marietta or Howell Mill?
It's on Marietta, I believe.
Okay.
But look it up. It's easy to find. Sort of near Georgia Tech.
It's right by where Howell Mill and Marietta come together, I think, at that point.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So they have a cool scene there on the roof, and it's going to be awesome. We're going to have our all-star trivia. We have got some celebrity guests booked.
Mm-hmm.
We have Mr. John Hodgman of The Daily Show.
Yeah.
Author and actor John Hodgman.
Yes, who I am sure, I would say 140% of our audience is a huge fan of.
Yeah, don't call him the PC guy.
No. I've actually had to stop myself the last two times.
Actually, he's very cool about that. He's very thankful for that job. So it's not like he's like, don't call me that.
Yeah, I don't ever want to discuss that again.
Right.
That's our Hodgman impression.
Sounds nothing like him.
We have the guy who used to play Bo Duke in the classic 70s TV show The Dukes of Hazzard, Mr. Joe Randazzo.
Yeah.
He's going to be joining us.
Now he is the editor-in-chief of The Onion since he quit The Dukes of Hazzard.
Got to get work somewhere.
He America's Finest News Source. Joe is coming down from New York with John.
I wonder if they were going to ride down on the same plane.
That'd be nice.
So cute.
And Dave Willis, local legend from Adult Swim on the Cartoon Network. Dave was a co-creator of Aqua Teen Hunger Force.
And Squidbillies.
And the awesome Squidbillies. Have you seen Squidbillies?
I have, yeah.
So great. And we landed Dave, and we're like super, super psyched that he's going to be here for this.
So what we're saying is you can come to Five Seasons Brewery in Atlanta, no matter where you are. On October 13th, which is a Wednesday, it's a work night, but just take the next day off.
Trivia is always
it'll be worth
night.
It. To play us, Hodgman, Randazzo, Willis, and possibly a couple others in trivia.
Yeah.
For free. Just come. You buy your own drinks or whatever. And apparently, have you seen the menu at this place?
Oh, it's good.
Awesome.
That's where I had the cow cheek.
Cheeks are the tastiest part of any animal, buddy.
I didn't care for it.
Really?
Nah.
It makes me sad.
I didn't like it.
We'll get you some sweetbread sometime.
But you can come and hang out with these guys. And,
yeah, they're all very approachable.
Yeah.
And we'll just play us in trivia, see what you got.
Bring your books, your John Hodgman books. He's got a couple of books out that I'm sure he'd be happy to sign.
We'll find out one way or the other. He'll
I'm
be
not
like, please
anything.
Don't do that again. if you have an email about our trivia event, you want to say hi?
Yeah, we have the other event too, the non-sanctioned event though.
Oh yeah, go ahead.
The night before trivia, Tuesday, October 12th, our buddies, the Henry Clay people, are in town.
Yeah, at just the Drunken Uni, right?
By chance, they are in town doing a headlining show this time, which is awesome.
Yeah.
At the Drunken Unicorn on Ponce de Leon Avenue. And I imagine it'll be sort of a late show. It's one of those kind of clubs. But you're going to be there, right?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, Josh and Yumi will be there, and Emily and I will be there, and Jerry, we're going to make you come even if you don't want to.
Yeah.
And I think hopefully Joe's going to be in town and go with us.
Yeah, we'll see.
The day before.
Yeah.
And we asked John if he would be there, too, so we'll see.
And, yeah, if you're not familiar with the Henry Clay people, they had a song on Gossip Girl. Did you know that?
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, for them.
Can't remember what it's called, but it's big time.
Make a little coin?
Yeah, oh, I'm sure. Probably not. I'm sure their label is just like, yeah, here's some tires for your road trip.
So that is a non-sanctioned, non-official event, but we want to encourage people to come out to that show, hang out with us, hang out with the band, give Jordan, the keyboard player, some grief for having Lyme disease.
Yeah, he picked it up at Chuck's house, remember?
Yeah, it'd be a good time. We want to pack it out for those guys.
It won't be hard. Drunken Unicorn holds like 50 people.
So, yeah, you're right.
So, again, Chuck said that was a non-sanctioned event. I guess marketing was all over him for that one.
Nah,
just COA?
COA, buddy.
Thanks, man. If you want to send us an email about our Atlanta event, you got any questions, anything like that, you can post it on Facebook. Facebook.com/stuffyoushouldknow. You could ask me on Twitter, ask us. We tweet at SYSK Podcast, and you can also email us at stuffpodcast@howstuffworks.com.
For more on this and thousands of other topics, visit howstuffworks.com. Want more How Stuff Works? Check out our blogs on the howstuffworks.com homepage. Brought to you by the reinvented 2012 Camry. It's ready. Are you?
Are you looking for the perfect move-in ready home this spring season? Now's the time to buy at Fisher Homes. For a limited time only, enjoy below market interest rates starting at 5.375% APR, 6.139% APR. With these exclusive lower rates, you can save hundreds on a move-in ready home and start enjoying the benefits of homeownership even faster. Schedule your personal tour with one of our new home specialists at fisherhomes.com and make this spring the season you find your perfect home sweet home. Financing provided by Victory Mortgage, LLC, NMLS 461249, Equal Housing Lender.
Life in our modern age comes at you pretty fast, which makes our time away especially valuable. When I take time to relax, I like to get far from my everyday life, immerse myself in natural beauty, and have unique experiences. But you don't have to leave the U.S. to experience tropical rainforests and islands filled with adventure, warm culture, and national treasures. Visit Puerto Rico, an island with a vibrant spirit that will sweep you away. Because when you visit, you don't become part of the island, it becomes part of you. In Puerto Rico, you can forget where you came from and embrace where you are. Puerto Rico, where visits end, but stories last forever. No passport required for U.S. citizens and permanent residents. Learn more and plan your trip at discoverpuertorico.com.